This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters, this is Riyad Rasazi welcoming you once again to our Sira series, Walking with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we are with episode 49, and I presume that we have maybe another two sessions to complete this series, the Seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So today, inshallah ta'ala, as I said, today and maybe tomorrow will be the end of the series, and then we'll start a new series, inshallah ta'ala. So please allow me, as we always do, to give maybe a minute or two for more people to join. I've got Facebook and Instagram, and hoping for more people to join us today, inshallah ta'ala. All right, so be patient, inshallah, just to give more time for people to join. They're taking their time, but they're coming in. They're joining slowly but surely. Slowly but surely. Anyways, last week, dear brothers and sisters, we spoke about the, those of you who just joined, this is episode number 49 from the Seerah of the Prophet, entitled Walking with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I mentioned that we have maybe two more sessions to complete the Seerah of the Prophet of this series. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we'll be talking about lessons. Today, inshallah, we will kind of like summarize the full seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, derived lessons. I will share with you maybe about more than 10 lessons that we will, you know, that we have derived from this series. And once we once I share with you this the summary of the seerah and the lessons that we have derived from the seerah, then we move to the final episode, which is talking about the farewell Hajj. It's called Hajjatul Wada', or as we say Wida' in Urdu, Hajjat Wida'. So Hajjatul Wada', the farewell Hajj, and the emotional death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it will be quite an emotional, you know, session today and tomorrow, bi'idhnillah. So dear brothers and sisters, last week we spoke about the Ghazwat Mu'ta. If you remember, the last final battle that the Prophet Muhammad participated in, it was called the Battle of Mu'ta against the Romans. The Prophet Muhammad, when he came back from Mecca, there were two battles. We talked about Hunain, and then we talked about Mu'ta. Mu'ta was the final one that the Prophet Muhammad himself physically participated in. And I spoke about that, if you remember, that incident that happened, the incident of Ka'b ibn Malik, the three Sahabis. So I've got Facebook. People are taking time to join in. Welcome to all of you, whoever joined. Welcome, welcome. I know they're just taking some time, but inshallah ta'ala, I'm just taking, I'm summarizing what we talked about last week, and giving time for more people to join, inshallah. And then I will resume our series, Walking with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. So I was talking about those three individuals that did not make it to that battle, Mu'ta. Amongst them was Ka'b ibn Malik. And we talked about that incident where Ka'b was procrastinating, and we talked about, the procrastination and why some people keep on procrastinating. Ka'b ibn Malik happened to have a very fast horse, he says, and he says I could, it was like almost like springtime, and his family was prepared a very nice sitting for him, and he kept on delaying the fact, to join the Prophet and to join the army. He kept on delaying that, his journey, until Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, came back. The whole journey, brothers and sisters, do you remember I mentioned it last week, how long it took for Prophet Muhammad to reach from Mecca to Mu'ta, to that battle where the Ghassasina were, you know, that tribe, the Ghassasina, the Romans. How long it took the Prophet Muhammad to reach, you know, where the Ghassasina were? Do you remember, you brothers and sisters, I mentioned that last week? I gave you exactly how, you know, how many days it took him. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, Yashmin, mashallah, Yashmin, she remembers. 50 days. It took him 50 days to reach. And then after he reached, did they fight? No, there was no war. There was no fighting, subhanAllah. You know, Al-Ghassasina, they ran away. And Prophet Muhammad and the Sahaba, they took possession of lots of spoils of war, you know. And then when he came back, then he came to know of those people who did not make it. Amongst them, there were some hypocrites. And the hypocrites were coming to the Prophet, you know, making up all types of excuses. And then there were three people. Amongst them is Ka'b ibn Malik. Those were sincere, honest. Ka'b ibn Malik, he says, I'm blessed with an eloquent speech. I could easily go to the Prophet Muhammad and, you know, and make up an excuse, and he will, you know, he will forgive me. But he says he's a prophet, and I cannot, you know, lie to him. I cannot lie to him because he, I'm sure he will receive, you know, a revelation that could reveal, you know, my intention. So he says, I'm going to speak the truth. And brothers and sisters, if you were to speak the truth, you will always be a winner at the end. The one who speaks the truth, the one who sides with al-haq, speak the truth, be with the haq, and you shall be a winner, insha'Allah ta'ala. Never say or think that if I were to lie, I could save myself. No, if you were to lie, you will not save yourself. You will, in fact, put yourself in more, you know, you will cause yourself more damage than, you know, than good, wal'iyadu billah. So sometimes people, they think, you know, I'm just going to lie. It's a white lie. It's this and that. I need to save myself, you know, and whatnot. But, you know, lying, you know, it is not sidq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ma'as-sadiqeen. Allah is with those who are truthful. And Allah gives victory to those who are truthful eventually. So brothers and sisters, learn this from, you know, from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad, learn this from this example of Ka'b ibn Malik, who, na'am, he suffered for 50 days as well. He suffered for 50 days, you know, because the Prophet Muhammad, as per his, you know, the punishment that he inflicted upon Ka'b, nobody will talk to him. For 50, imagine, like for over a month, almost 2 months, he goes to the masjid, nobody's talking to him. He says salam, nobody's talking to him. He goes to the markets, nobody's talking to him. He goes to buy stuff, nobody's talking to him. So much so that the Prophet Muhammad ordered his wives to leave him. So he told, you know, he asked, shall I divorce her? Prophet says, no, just let her go back to her, you know, family's home. So Prophet, you know, he told his wife to leave him. So now he's alone, not outside, outside and inside. Even in his home, he's alone. Before, he had his wife with him. Nobody's talking to him, so he goes to his wife. At least he can have a conversation. But imagine now, he cannot converse with no one. No one is talking to him. So here's another ibtila, another test. What kind of test? He receives a letter from the Romans, from the leader of the Romans. Why don't you come to us? We heard that your friend, you know, and your friends have kind of like disowned you. Why don't you come to us? We shall take care of you. We shall look after you. We shall put, you know, give you some status and rank, high rank, you know, as if sometimes, you know, you get laid off from your job, halal job, and then subhanAllah, you know, you get a very good offer from a very good company, but the work that you'll be doing is halal work, or you may say it's somewhat not halal, right? And they pay you really, really good, a very high salary, but it is not fully halal, right? And then you're you know, you're wondering, you know, I have bills to pay, I have expenses, I have this, I have that, I'm a single mom, I'm single this, I'm single, and I need to cover my expenses, and the job that you have found, which pays really, really, really well, but it is not halal. They may ask you to remove your hijab. We will pay you over $100,000 a year, $200,000. We'll pay you good, but you have to remove your hijab. Or maybe you have to shave your beard. Or maybe they tell you not to pray, during work. You cannot pray. You pray when you go back home, but during work time, you can't pray. Whatever, whatever. Or the work that you're doing, it has to deal with riba, with alcohol, with usury, with whatnot. Look at the test and the trial. And a lot of people sometimes, you know, they find themselves, subhanAllah, going through these types of hardship. And then they have to make a decision. And a lot of people sometimes, they make the wrong decision. They're tested, they're trialed, so they have to make a choice, right? It's a choice. They have two choices and they need to make a decision. And a lot of people don't make the right decision. They fail the test. Ka'b ibn Malik, he was put under that, you know, that hardship. He lives in this town in Medina. Nobody's talking to him. They're all ignoring him. He goes to the masjid, he says salam, nobody replies salam. Ya akhi, salamu alaykum. وَإِذَا حَيُّتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, when you're given, you know, a tahiyya with salam, when somebody greet you, when someone greets you with salam, you should, you know, greet with salam that is better. Let's say if somebody says salamu alaykum, you should reply back, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. If somebody says assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, you should reply with assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Yani a better salam. أَوْ رُدُّوهَا, or at least greet them back with the same greeting. So he's saying assalamu alaikum. He's saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Nobody's replying salam. Prophet Muhammad, he instructed the sahaba not to talk to him. So imagine, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, mentions in the Quran in Surah At-Tawbah, describing, you know, this incident. بعدما كان يزيغ قلوبهم فريق منهم ثم تاب عليهم إنه رؤوف رحيم وعلى الثلاثة الذين خلفوا حتى إذا ضاقت عليهم الأرض بما رحبت وضاقت عليهم أنفسهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the thalatha, the three people that were held, that did not, you know, undertook that journey. حتى ضاقت إذا ضاقت عليهم الأرض, the earth, you know, they felt so tight. The earth is vast. The earth is vast, is wide, yet they felt very tight. Despite the vastness of the earth, they felt quite tight. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ, and they felt that even their nafs, their chest became so tight. SubhanAllah. Imagine, you can even breathe, your nafs is so tight, your chest is so tight. Nobody's talking to you. Leave your wife. And then on top of that, you get an offer to come, and then you'll get, you know, they put you in a high rank. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the ayah that, you know, that they were forgiven. ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. And then Allah forgave them. Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 114 and 115. This is why it's called Surah At-Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah. That Allah Azza wa Jal is At-Tawwab. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts the Tawbah. He is the one who initiated, you know, repentance. And He is the one who accepts it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine if you are living and this name of Allah At-Tawwab did not exist. People will just commit sins, they wouldn't care. Because there's no such thing as a notion of repentance. Imagine, may Allah forbid, if there was no such a thing as repentance. People will sin and nobody will care. People will just keep on sinning. But alhamdulillah, because Allah Azza wa Jalla reveals Himself as At-Tawwab, the one who initiated something called repentance, and then comes Al-Ghafoor, the one who forgives. Tawbah is different than Maghfirah. Tawbah is different than Maghfirah. Tawbah comes from the name of Allah, At-Tawwab. Tawbah means to repent, or repentance. Taba. Taba in Arabic, or let's say afa. Taba ay raja'a, باللغة العربية. Taba in Arabic means to come back. يعني to leave something, to make a U-turn. Taba. So he leaves, you know, that wrong which he used to do. Then after you repent, comes Al-Ghaffar or Al-Ghafur, the one who actually forgives the sins. So you have Tawbah, and then you have Maghfirah, forgiveness. You have repentance and you have forgiveness. Yeah, these two words, they, you know, correlate with one another, but they are different at the same time. A Tawbah comes from repentance, to repent when you commit a sin. But do you know if Allah has forgiven you or not? You have repented. How do you know that if Allah has forgiven you? Then you have the name of Allah, Al-Ghaffar, Al-Ghafur. Then you have forgiveness. And then comes the other most beautiful name of Allah, Azza wa Jal, Al-Afu, the one who effaces the sins. Subhanah. The one who effaces the sins. So Al-Tawwab, Al-Ghafur, Al-Ghaffar, Al-Afu, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. ثم تاب عليهم ليتوبوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. A man came calling, Ya Ka'b ibn Malik, Ya Ka'b ibn Malik, Abshir, Abshir, O Ka'b ibn Malik, glad tidings to you, O Ka'b, glad tidings to you, O Ka'b. Because this ayat were revealed when Prophet Muhammad was in the masjid, and the Prophet Muhammad, you know, he mentioned it to the Sahaba, you know, now that Allah Azza wa Jalla has forgiven Ka'b, and then a man rushed to Ka'b, running to him, Ya Ka'b, Abshir, Abshir. Ka'b ibn Malik, he made sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was so happy. He made sujood shukr to Allah. He prostrated in thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he went to the masjid. Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Talha ibn Ubaidillah was the first sahabi. You know, he stood up and he went and he hugged him. The same people who did not talk to him for months, month and a half, almost 2 months, 50 days. He stood up and went and he hugged him. قَالَ وَاللَّهِ لَنْ أَنْسَاهَ لِطَلْحَ. He says, by Allah, I shall never forget this action, you know, from Talha, who was the first one to come and hug me. And then Prophet Muhammad told him, أَجْلِسْ يَا كَعْبِ. أَبْشِرْ, sit down, O Ka'b, and glad tidings to you, O Ka'b. أَبْشِرْ بِخَيْرِ يَوْمٍ طَلْعَ عَلَيْهِ عندك أبشر أبشر بخير يوم منذ أن ولدت أو منذ أن ولدتك أمك تاب الله عليك. He says أبشر, glad tidings to you, this is the most greatest day you've ever seen since you were born. The greatest day since you were born, Allah has forgiven you. Indeed, imagine, Allah has forgiven you. This is the most beautiful day in my life, to know that Allah Azza wa Jalla has forgiven you. أحلى يوم في حياتك. The best day in your life. The best day in your life. Oh, Ka'b, this is the best day in your life, indeed. Brothers, let me ask you and sisters, what's the best day in your life? Those of you on Facebook, those of you on Instagram, what do you think the best day in your life is or was? Do you remember? Do you people know? Do you have any idea? What do you think? I mean, the happiest day in your life. What's the best day in your life, brothers and sisters? Sure, tell me. Talk to me. I'm sure some of you would, I mean, I'm sure all of you would know. You know, you have a feeling, this day was the happiest day in my life. This day for me was the best day in my life. This day was the best day I've ever seen. This day was the happiest day I've ever felt, you know. So what do you think was the best day in your life? Come on, tell me. When I entered the Prophet's mosque, ya salam, in Medina, huh? In Medina, Yasmin said, when I entered the Prophet's mosque, it was the best day in my life. MashaAllah. You feel that feeling when you enter the Masjid al-Nabawi. It's a special feeling when you enter the Masjid al-Nabawi. The best in your life. How about you guys on Facebook? How about anybody else on Instagram? What is the best day in your life? What is the happiest moment in your life? Come on, guys, girls. Come on, guys, girls. Talk to me. Best day in your life. Let me talk to my guys on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Bizd in your life, what is it? When I love Allah. When do you think you loved Allah then, by Zuri Aziz? When do you think you loved Allah then? Was the best in your life, guys, girls? Was the happiest moment in your life, brothers and sisters? Huh? Some of you may say, the day I embraced Islam, going to Masjid Haram, the day when I saw the Kaaba, the day when I entered the Haram and I saw the Kaaba for the first time live, the best day in my life. What is the best day in your life? The happiest moment in your life. The day I saw my daughter, you know, my first daughter or my son come to life. The day I got my honor degree or whatnot, you know, what's the best day in your life? I only heard from 2-3 guys here, brothers and sisters. The others, they have no best day in their lives. The others are like not happy. Are you people sad? When I learn how to walk and do sujood again. Aha. When I learn how to walk and do sujood again. Does that mean that there was a time in your life when you were not able to walk and do sujood? That's what I understand. I don't know that about you. So there was a time when you couldn't walk nor make sujood. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla gave you shifa. And then you started walking again and then making sujood. Of course, that would be also the best day in my life. Making sujood to Allah Azza wa Jalla after I've been sort of like prevented from making sujood. After I've been not able of making sujood or walking. And then I'm able to walk again and make sujood. Oh, absolutely. It would be the best day in my life again. Ya salam. You know what he says? Uh-huh, exactly. That's I figured, Mu'nisa. You know what he says? Wallahi ma najjani illa sidq. You know what saved him, sisters and brothers? What saved Ka'b ibn Malik? Who can tell me what saved him? What saved him? What made Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, willing to forgive him? What made Allah Azza wa Jal accept his repentance? Ka'b. Ka'b's repentance. What made Allah Azza wa Jal accept his repentance? What saved him? Come on, guys. I mean, you should know this one. You should know this. You know the answer to this question. What saved him? What made Allah accept his repentance? Come on, guys. Tell me. Those of you on Facebook. What made Allah patience? What else? مَا الَّذِي نَجَّى كَعْبْ بْنُ مَالِكَ. What made Allah accept his repentance? What was that thing? Speaking the truth. As-sidq. Yes. Thabit. Aim Thabit. She got it. You got it. Speaking the truth. Truthfulness. As-sidq. You see? He suffered. He went through some hardship for 50 days. Yet at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. So he was patient, yes. But it was tough. But he spoke the truth initially. He spoke the truth initially. And that's what saved him. Being honest and being truthful, that's what saved him. Radiallahu anhu arda. So my brothers and sisters, this happened after the battle of Mu'tah. Now Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, we are in the 10th of the Hijrah. And Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is 63 years old. How old is Prophet Muhammad today? 63 years old. What year? We are in the 10th year of the Hijrah. What happened? Let me tell you a little bit about what happened. Because now Prophet Muhammad, inshallah ta'ala, will make the intention to go for Hajj. This is the first Hajj and only Hajj of the Prophet. According to the authentic hadith and the scholars, this is the only Hajj of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Prophet Muhammad did Umrah, as we talked about 2 years back, in the 8th of the Hijrah. But now is the Hajjah of the Prophet Muhammad, the only Hajjah of the Prophet Muhammad in the 10th year of the Hijrah. But before we talk about that, brothers and sisters, let me summarize a seerah and talk to you about the lessons that we learn from the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm going to share with you about maybe 10 to 15 lessons that we learn from the seerah. As I mentioned initially today, some of you came in late. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, I have maybe one, two more sessions to complete this series of the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. Today and maybe tomorrow, we will complete the series, inshallah. Today and tomorrow. So let us talk about, let me summarize it for you, inshallah, right? Let me summarize it for you. Talk to you about the lessons that we, and you can tell me, brothers and sisters, also you've been with me since the beginning. Today is lesson number 49. Imagine 49 lectures talking about the seerah. So today, 49, tomorrow will be 50, and most likely will be the end of the series. So let us talk about what we have learned so far. What have we learned so far from the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi as-salatu wassalam? Why it is called seerah, by the way? Seerah. Why it is called seerah? Who can tell me? Yalla, 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 yalla. Who can tell me? Who can tell me why is it called seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam? Huh? Yalla, ya habaybi, yalla. Jaldi, jaldi, jaldi. Quickly, quickly. Why is it called seerah of the Prophet? I mentioned this in the very, very beginning, the introduction of the session. Life of the Prophet, na'am, life of the Prophet. تسير على خطاها نسير, سير is to walk. This is why we call it walking with the Prophet. We walk upon the footsteps of the Prophet. سيرة from سير. سير means to walk. In Morocco we say سير, سير, سير. In Morocco, when we tell someone to go, we say سير. Comes from سيرة. The سير, يسير على خطاه. He walks upon the footsteps. Huh? So that's why it's called, you know, seerah. The detail of the Prophet's life to guide us. Na'am, the detail of the Prophet's life that we take, you know, from the, you know, from the deriving lessons from his life, you know, so that we can live upon those lessons from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So let us talk about some of the lessons that we can derive from the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad. And I expect you to tell me, shoot some lessons, you know, from this series that we have undertaken so far. الدرس الأول, the first lesson that we learned from the seerah of the Prophet, التخطيط والمبادرة. التخطيط. Prophet Muhammad was a planner, strategic planner, and he was proactive. We learned from the seerah, you know, how to strategically, you know, think and plan. Yes, this is the meaning of tawakkul. Tawakkul is not to sit and wait for Allah to pour, you know, and rain money upon you. Raining money is not going to happen. You know, tawakkul is that you make an effort. وَقُلِ اعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ. And Allah says in the Quran, say, and work, make an effort, and Allah Azza wa Jalla shall reward you for your work. So the first lesson is, Prophet Muhammad was a strategic thinker and planner, and he was proactive as well. He used to take action. He used to take action, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was not reactive, he was proactive. A lot of Muslims, unfortunately, a lot of people in general, they tend to react, you know, after the fact. Versus thinkers, they are proactive. They act before something happens. They already have taken, you know, the steps. They've already have planned, you know, things. So if one, two, three were to happen, they already have, you know, managed it somehow. So you need to be proactive, not reactive. Wait for the lockdown to happen for me to go make dua. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. La, make that dua. Make that dua before anything happens. Go and do your, you know, shopping before something happens, and don't go crazy. You know, if you feel sick, na'am, go to the doctor. But put your trust in Allah, but not the doctor. You know, yeah. Don't wait for the rain to happen. You know that your roof is leaking. You know that your roof is leaking, and you don't take action to fix your roof until winter time when it starts raining. La, it's leaking. You know that it's leaking. Go and fix the roof, you know, the leak. Don't wait until the rain starts pouring and you say, now I gotta go and do it. It becomes a major, to something that is major, I gotta do it. But you have plenty of time to do it. And this is what causes stress. This is what causes depression. This is what causes anxiety for people to delay stuff. They have time to do them sometimes. Also, what happens? They keep on procrastinating, delaying until they have no other choice. Your taxes are due. When are they due? In Canada, they're due on April, the end of April. And people, they have plenty of time to do their taxes. So, but some people, they wait until the day before, you know, the taxes are due. And say, I gotta do my taxes. Even the Christians, even I'm talking about not only Muslims, people in general, you know, those Christmas shoppers, last minute shoppers. Of course, the prices would, you know, they go crazy in the last minute of, you know, when people are shopping. You have always those last minute shoppers, you know, they do their shopping, you know, on the day of Christmas, as they call it. I'm just giving you an example, right? I'm just giving people who procrastinate, people who delay stuff. So you have plenty of time that you have, you know, could have taken to do your shopping or whatnot. And then you leave everything until the end. You have guests coming. And you need to do certain grocery shopping before you, you know, start cooking. And you had time, but you kept on delaying. You kept on delaying. You have an exam coming up next week or in 2 weeks or in a month, right? You have an exam. And then you leave studying until the day prior of the exam. I have plenty of time. I can go out now. I can play now. I can do this now, you know? And then you keep on delaying your studying. You keep on delaying your studying. And then a day or 2 days before, I've got to study for my exam. I got to study. That's what causes depression. That's what causes anxiety. You caused it to yourself. Prophet Muhammad was proactive. Prophet Muhammad was a strategic thinker. He was a planner. This is lesson number one. Lesson number two. It's a lot, you know, we learn about patience. We learn about patience and perseverance from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad. Look what happened to the Sahaba, Sumayya, and her husband, and Ammar, their son. Perseverance, not just patience, perseverance. Sabr, tadhiya. You know, yes, you go to hardship, but you have to sacrifice. We learned from the seal of the Prophet something called sacrifice. You sacrifice so much for the sake of La ilaha illallah. The Sahaba sacrificed. The Muhajirin, when they migrated from Mecca to Medina, they sacrificed a lot. They left everything behind. But look what happened to them at the end. Who was the winner? They won, and they got a lot more than they have that which they have sacrificed. Learn from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad, another lesson, training, proper training. The Prophet, where did the Sahaba get the proper training, brothers and sisters? Those of you who, you know, who were with me throughout the series, those of you who were with me from the beginning, those very first Sahabis who embraced Islam, they got proper training. Where did they get their proper training from? Or at? Who can tell me? Who can tell me? Come on. Who can tell me where those Sahabis initially who embraced Islam get their training from? Where did they get their training from? Or at? Come on, guys. Yalla. Quick, quick. I'm waiting. I've got Facebook and I've got Instagram. Yalla. Where did those Sahaba got their training from? Why you guys are not talking to me? Why you guys are not talking to me? Where did the first Sahabis, companions of the Prophet, get their training from? Aim, Thabit, mashallah. You all answer the questions. Dar al-Arqam. Al-Arqam ibn al-Arqam. Remember? They got their training from there. They got their training from that house of al-Arqam. A young boy. A young man. So, na'am. They got their training. Spiritual training. Emotional training. Their iman. Educational training. Even physical training. Ilm. You name it. They got it, you know, from that house, the house of Al-Arqam. So we learned from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad that, you know, to proceed with any of your, let's say you have some, mashallah, you were planning to become a doctor or an engineer or whatnot. You have a dream, right? You want to pursue some sort of dream. You need to get the proper training. You want to become a speaker, you need to get proper training. You need to become a doctor, you need to get proper training. You need to become a lawyer, you need to get proper training. Nothing comes ad hoc, nothing comes like that. Nothing comes just like you're born as a speaker, a great speaker. Nothing comes like without effort. You need to make an effort, you need to get the proper training. Marketing, you know, you have a beautiful course. You have a great, you know, program. So you need people to learn about your programs. You need people to learn about your, you know, your seminars or whatnot. You need people to learn about your skills. So you need to get that training. How can I have a service. How can I let people know about my services? Get that training and see how you can, you know, convey that message to the people and let them know about what you have to offer. You know, get the proper training. So we learned that from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad as well. So we learn about strategic thinking, we learn about being proactive, we learn about being patient and perseverance, we learn about, you know, training, training, we learn about coexistence with others from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Coexistence, التعايش مع الآخر. We learn from the seal of the Prophet to be open, to be accepted. You know, others, to coexist with others, people who may not share the same views, people who may not share the same faith, yet we learn how to coexist. In Medina, you had the Jews, you had the, you know, people living there, you have Al-Aus, you have Al-Khazraj. People, Prophet Muhammad, when he was sending messages to the kings and leaders, the Romans, the Persians, how he coexisted also with the Yahud, with the Jews. Respect. You want to live in Medina, you work, you provide, you pay the taxes. And in return, you get, you know, you get the safety, you get, you know, you get the, we will protect you, you get protection, you get this, you get that. You're living with us, you work, and you get this in return. Tahayush, coexistence. You live in the West. You live in England. You live in Canada. You live in the US. You live wherever you live. You know, you need to learn how to integrate with your system, with your communities, with the country that you live in. Enough living in a bubble, brothers and sisters, we Muslims. Enough living in a bubble. Us versus we. Together. Just, you know, with the Muslims, with the... Yeah, it's together how to coexist. Now I've got my faith. Now I've got my creed. Now I'm not going to do something that will affect my religion and jeopardize my deen. I won't do something like that. But I live in the West. I have to integrate with the communities, with the system. My neighbors... What kind of message am I sending to my neighbors, non-Muslim neighbors, right? At-ta'ayush, coexistent. As imams, how can we work with other people of faith, the Christians and the Jews and the others? How can we work with them together, you know, for the safety of our country and for the betterment of our country, for the betterment of our communities? You know, at-ta'ayush. This madhab and that madhab and this madhab and that madhab, we learn it. We learn it, subhanAllah. How the fuqaha with al-madhab al-Shafi'i, how he worked with the madhab that came, you know, prior to him, and so on and so forth. And Imam Ibn Hanbal as well, working with al-Shafi'i and respecting al-Shafi'i and learning from al-Shafi'i. And then he went on, and then he, you know, evolved his own ways of thinking, his own madhab. So there was not like, because this madhab and that madhab, as if it becomes like, you're the Muslim and I'm not, and you're, this guy is Muslim, وهذا, if he's not following your madhab, he's not a Muslim, والعياذ بالله. لا حبيبي, التعايش, coexistence with people from our faith and people from different faith. As well, we learn that from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. We learn from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, brothers and sisters, that the Islam is based on salam. Islam is based on peace. When do you engage in war? You engage in war when you are really like, when you're stuck, when people are about to attack you, when people are harming you, when your blood, your wealth, your grace, your dignity is being, and when people are coming and attacking your dignity and attacking your wealth or your faith or whatnot, you know, Prophet Muhammad, did he just go and, you know, and started war? La, he was not able to go and do his work. They did not let him do the work. So he had to, you know, he had to protect himself. He had to protect the Sahaba. He had to protect the religion of Islam. The Battle of Badr. The Battle of Badr, isn't it, brothers and sisters? So Islam is based on what? Islam is based on salam, on peace. Islam is the religion of peace, really. That's what Islam means. Salam, peace. Islam is not the religion of war. Islam is not the religion of bloodshed. Look at the conquest of Mecca. I gave that example, you know, a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the conquest of Mecca. Prophet Muhammad conquered Mecca with not even a single blood being shed. Although it could have been a bath of blood, or a blood bath, na'am, it could have been a blood bath, but Prophet Muhammad conquered Mecca with not even a single blood being shed. So who says Islam is the religion of war? Islam is the religion of blood. Islam is the religion of blowing up explosives and this and that. No, this is what they want you to think. This is what they want the West to think. This is what the media is programming and coining the image, you know, subhanAllah, of people to think that Islam is that religion. La, Islam is the religion of peace. As-salam. And that was the very first thing Prophet Muhammad mentioned when he went to from Mecca to Medina. His first speech, talking about salam, peace. تدخل الجنة بسلام. أفشو السلام. أطعموا الطعام وصلوا بالليل والناس نيام تدخلوا الجنة بسلام. That's what the Prophet was saying to the people from Medina, to the Jews, to the Aus, the Khazraj. Oh people, feed the poor. أفشوا السلام. Greet people with salam. Feed the poor and the needy. Pray while others are asleep. You shall enter Jannah in salam. You shall enter Jannah in peace. We want peace. We don't want war. We learn from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam that women, al-mar'a, woman was present. Woman was present. It was not only, you know, men who participated in, you know, in this wars or in da'wah, or men who were actually left things and then went on and conveyed the message of Islam. Women also were part of an integral part, not just a part. They were an integral part of this, alhamdulillah, you know, the betterment of this beautiful message of Islam and the conveying of the message of Islam. Women, they played a very, you know, integral role. We learned that from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. In siyasa, in you know, politically, women were there. Not only just, you know, politically they were there. In everything, women were not just restricted to their homes, raising kids. Naam. There was not that. Yes, that's, you know, one of the integral role, of course. But you know, if you look at the seal of the Prophet Muhammad, we learn also that women, Women, they were, you know, they were siyasiyat, political, mashallah, you know, they had brains, they intellects. The Prophet Muhammad also used to consult with women. Like the beautiful example when, you know, the Prophet Muhammad during the, you know, the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, when he came with the intention of Umrah, and then the Prophet Muhammad told the Sahaba to go and shave their heads. We're going back. And they did not want to shave their heads. They were so heartbroken. That we came with the intention to go and perform Umrah, and you're telling us to go back and leave. So Prophet Muhammad was so upset, he went back inside his tent. And then his wife told him, "Why are you upset? I told them to go and shave their heads, and they have, you know, restrained, and I'm afraid that Allah will send down His punishment upon them." She says, "Ya Rasulullah, why don't you go and shave your head? And if you shave your head, they will see you shaving your head, and when they go and shave their heads themselves, they will know that, khalas, this is the end." And that's what the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wasalam. Women were present. You name it. When the Sahaba, they migrated, those of you, those of the Sahabis, the first ones that migrated to Abyssinia, to Al-Habasha. What were they doing there? They lived there, but they were, you know, they contributed into the economy of Al-Habasha. What were they doing? They started making things, crafting things from leather, because they knew that Abyssinian people, they used to like things from leather. So the Sahaba and the Sahabiyat, the women, Sahabiyat, they were making things, crafting things from leather and selling it to the Abyssinians in a very decent price, making halal living and contributing into the economy of the country. We learned that from the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We learned from the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad that this religion, you know, is not the religion of deen, of, you know, religion, that it is also, as part of our religion, is education, al-thaqafa, you know, shi'r, poetry, anashid. You could have fun in Islam. We learned that from the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some people think that deen is just like so strict. There's no room for fun. There is no room for this or that. Who says? They used to sing poetry. When? Many times. Remember when they were digging the trench? Remember, brothers and sisters, I talked about the trench. Are you still with me, sisters and brothers? Those of you from Facebook and those of you on Instagram, are you following me? Are you guys following me? I'm just talking. I'm talking about lessons from the seerah of the Prophet. You guys are following? Right? Yes, are you? Are you? Oh, are you not? You're following? Yes, all right. Zakumullah khair. Tayyib, you know. So we're talking about, you know, some people, as I was mentioning, that some people think that Islam is just a religion of just being so strict. Mashallah alayki. Mashallah alayki. Hina. You know what that means, right? There you are. Alas. You know and I know. Forget, I was saying, some people think that religion is just religion of any being so strict and being so serious, whereas you can have fun. The Sahaba, when they were digging the trench, right, they were singing. They were, you know, some of them were, you know, reciting that poem and Islam mahtadina, Allahumma arhamil al-muhajirina wal-ansar, Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah, فانظر المهاجرين فانظر الأنصار والمهاجرة. They were making some beautiful songs and this and that, and the Prophet was participating, singing with them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, reciting that poetry. So the religion is also, our deen is not just a religion of being strict. We can have fun. We can have something called halal fun. I'm talking to all the husbands and wives out there who think that la, it is just either this or annar. Hellfire. There's no Jannah in their home. It's just like either you pray or you go to hellfire. Ya Habibi, you can tell your son the same thing. You can tell, if you were to pray, you would enter Jannah. Why would you have to say, if you don't pray, you go to hellfire? Yani, we can have fun in Islam. something that we learn from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. We learn from the seal of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that these there are certain ayat they are revealed based on certain circumstances. وقت الأخوة تنزل آيات الأخوة. وقت الجهاد تنزل آيات الجهاد. When times for brotherhood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down ayat that talk about brotherhood. When it's time, you know, when there's something about, you know, al-jihad, there are certain ayat that were revealed about jihad. Which means, brothers and sisters, ساعةٌ ساعة. Every time has its own circumstances or whatnot. You know, time to have fun is time to have fun. Time to be serious is time to be serious. Time for brotherhood is time for brotherhood. Time for unity is time. Everything has its own particular timings. We learn that from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. We learn from to reform, because the seal is about the formation of the earth. The seal is about al-islah, the formation of this earth. To have this reformation of the earth, brothers and sisters, if you want to have, even in your home, to have a reformation in your home, to make changes in your masjid, in your community, in your system, to make changes, you need to be truthful, as-sidq, number one. Are you writing down these things, brothers and sisters? I hope you're writing down. I'm giving you gold, guys. I'm giving you gold, golden information. I hope you people are taking notes. Yasmin, I'm sure she's taking notes. She always takes notes, Yasmin. Mu'nisa, it depends. I know Nawal, she's taking notes. I don't know about the guys. The guys, they think they can use their brain. I'm going to remember. Yeah, the Habibi, you're not going to remember. Take notes. All of you take notes. I know. So for you to have a reform in your home, in your system, in your community, in the masjid, in your work, you need sidq, truthfulness. You need al-amana. You need to be ameen, you know, sincere. You need to be al-wafa, loyalty. You need al-iman. You need al-amal. You need hope. You need iman. You need faith. You need loyalty. You need to be able to fulfill and to commitment. And you need truthfulness. These are these qualities that you would need for, you know, a reform to happen, dear brothers and sisters. You need to also respect different opinions. People may not agree with you at all time. Even if you're leader at home, dad, mom, you know, daughter, whatnot, you know, husband, wife, you're making decisions. You have to, you know, understand that people may not agree with you all the time. So you need to learn how to live despite the differences of opinions. How to live, how to coexist, as I have mentioned. Prophet Muhammad, he changed the location where they were about to camp in the Battle of Badr. He learned, you know, he knows how to listen and how to respect. And if I'm wrong, let's say, if I'm, you know, my decision is not the right decision, I can change that decision. The Prophet Muhammad chose a camp, right? And then somebody came to me and says, Ya Rasulullah, is this based on this choice of the camp? Is this based on wahi? Is it revealed? Or is it, can we use, you know, discuss it? Can we use opinions? He says, no, I just thought, you know, maybe this is, he says, no, Ya Rasulullah, this is not the best location. The best location will be here by this well, so that we can, you know, camp by the well, so that we can have water next to us. And if Quraysh was to come, they will be thirsty. They won't come, you know, be able to come next to the water. Prophet Muhammad says, right. And he changed the location. احترام رأي وأخذ برأي الناس. It is not always your decision that would work. It is not always your opinion. It is either my way or the highway. You need to listen to others and see if the others make more sense. I know sometimes some people have lived their lives. They live their lives, you know, using a particular, you know, way or whatnot. But sometimes you need to learn, especially when you live with others, how to let go, how to be easygoing, how to live your life, especially when you're sharing with others or living with others or working with others. It is not, I always do it this way. You always do it that way, but the other one always also does it the other way. So we need to respect each other and work out our way. It's our way versus your way or my way. We learn this from the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And brothers and sisters, I've got another, maybe two more you know, lessons that I want to share with you from the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. I know today's lesson was pretty long, 55 minutes. Today's lesson was quite long because we're talking, I'm summarizing the seerah for you, and I'm, you know, deriving lessons from the seerah, and it took me, you know, 55 minutes, as I mentioned. Normally, I just do between half an hour to 40 minutes, keep it short and sweet, but I've got maybe three more lessons, and I saved them until the end. Beautiful lessons, amazing lessons, soft lessons, lovely lessons. Do you want to hear them? Huh? Do you want to hear them? Tell me if you want to hear them. Tell me if you want to hear them. Facebook, you want to hear them? My lessons? Instagram? I've got three more that I would like to share with you. And then I will move to the emotional death of the Prophet. But before the emotional death of the Prophet, I want to talk about his final farewell Hajj, Umrah al-Hajj al-Wada. 100,000 people will do Hajj with Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. People will describe the Hajj of Rasulullah, the one and only Hajj of Rasulullah alayhi salam. Prophet Muhammad will come back home, he will be tired, and he will not pray Salah with Jama'ah for 5 days. In fact, he will pray, he will be sick, and then he will be praying sitting. He will be praying sitting, because he's very tired and sick. The very first time where Prophet Muhammad will be praying sitting, and the Sahaba are also praying sitting, because the Imam is praying sitting, Prophet Muhammad is praying sitting too, which is another fiqhi lesson. When the Imam prays sitting, the Ma'moom also have to pray sitting. Allahu Akbar. If the Imam prays sitting, the Ma'moom, they pray sitting as well. So I've got three more. And I know Mu'nisa, she smells something called cliffy. Mu'nisha, she smells something called cliffy, like a cliffhanger. So it is definitely a cliffhanger. We will finish it up tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Tomorrow, Saturday, bi'idhnillah, we will finish talking about the lessons from the seal of the Prophet, talking about the farewell Hajj, and then talking about the emotional Hajj of the Prophet Muhammad, the emotional death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then talk to you about the new series which we will start inshallah bi'idhnillah, especially in the month of Ramadan. Brothers and sisters, also I'd like to remind you of my how to have an outstanding Ramadan seminar or webinar. I have, you know, promoted it on my social media, on Instagram, on Facebook. You know, it's going to be a 3-hour webinar. Please sign up for it. I'm not going to do it on Instagram, nor Facebook, nor YouTube. It will be on Zoom. So for you to attend this seminar or webinar, you have to sign up for it, inshallah ta'ala. You've got to be serious. If you're serious, sign up for it. It is not just any seminar talking about how to fast Ramadan. That's not the aim, on just how to fast Ramadan, how to have an exceptional Ramadan, inshallah, for you and your families and your loved ones and your kids. How to have a practical schedule, a practical agenda, a practical program, daily program from the morning until evening. How to fast Ramadan. So that you need to sign up for, inshallah ta'ala. It's on, I mentioned it on Instagram, on Facebook. You know, there is a link where you can sign up for it, inshallah ta'ala. It's next Saturday. It's not next Saturday. April 10th. April 10th. Would that be next Saturday? No. It will be, I think so. I don't have my my thing with me. But April 10th. April 10th, inshallah, from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And then you can also ask all your fiqh questions about, you know, fasting and whatnot. So April 10th, inshallah, between 3 and 6. Those of you who have come in late, please go back and check out the session. Go back and, you know, and check out the session. It will be recorded it's on Instagram, on Facebook, and on YouTube. You know, today was episode number 49 from Walking with the Prophet Muhammad. Maybe today you don't want to miss the session, because I summarized the whole thing for you. So if you've come in late, we start always at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, but still, go back and watch the session. It's recorded. You'll find it on Facebook. You'll find it on Instagram and on YouTube. YouTube, go and join my YouTube channel, brothers and sisters. All the series, They're all recorded there. All of them. All the series. The series from the Seerah, the series from the end of time, the series from Homemade Happiness, the series from the stories of the prophets. All of them. Everything is on my YouTube channel. Jazakum Allah khair. May Allah bless you all. Brothers and sisters, make sure you come tomorrow, because tomorrow is the day where we will end the series. Tomorrow, inshallah, will be the day where we will end officially the series of the Seerah of the Prophet Muhammad. It will be emotional. Maybe it'll be some crying, maybe some shedding of some tears, talking about the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakum Allah khair. May Allah bless you all. May Allah reward you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you al-firdaus al-a'la. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you everything that you wish for. Everything that you wish. Anything that you wish, be it good for you, may Allah azza wa jalla make it possible for you, inshallah ta'ala. Protect you, protect your loved ones, your daughters, your sons, inshallah. Protect your husbands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you and your loved ones live until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wishes to take your souls, and you would meet in Jannah, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair. Now I can read Facebook all of a sudden. Asla Qadri, she's there, and Shahnaz and Shan Kayani. Jazakum Allah khair. Umm Ayat, she's there as well, mashallah. All of a sudden Facebook has kicked off and they're letting me read their comments. Jazakum Allah khair. Thank you, Nawal. Thank you, Baizul Aziz. Thank you. Thank you, Zoya Laraib. Thank you, Asra. Thank you, Ayat. Thank you, Shan. My buddy, Shan Kayani. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jazakum Allah khair. Barakallahu fikum. Make sure you come tomorrow. Don't leave. Tomorrow is a very, very special session, inshallah ta'ala, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Jazakum Allah khair. Barakallahu fikum. And don't forget to sign up for that, you know, how to have an Asan Ramadan webinar. Make sure you sign up for it, brothers and sisters. Make sure you don't want to miss it out. It's on Zoom, unfortunately. I will not do it on Instagram nor Facebook. It's only on Zoom. Make sure you sign up. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi. Take care. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum Facebook. Assalamu alaikum Instagram. Assalamu alaikum Shazia. Assalamu alaikum. All the way. Me neither. Morkani, my friend Morkani is there. Morkani, may Allah bless you. Zakallah khair for joining. Thank you so much. Instagram. Thank you so much. Facebook. Zakum Allah khair. May Allah bless you all. Make sure you go back and watch the session if you have missed it, huh? Make sure you go back and watch it. And join my YouTube channel. Assalamu alaikum.